most Rishonim were that Tinat the Kaddish Kaspa is the reason why the Gemara thinks that it would work. What would work? What would work? It says Tinat. The reason for what? Yes? Yeah, that the reason why the Rabbanim have the right to be Mafkir the Kedushin. Does that make sense to us if he was Makadish Bekesef? And the Rashbam learns that that's because they have the power of Hefker Bes and Hefker. But then the Rashbam, I'm going to close the door. But then the Rashbam mentions another Pshat, which he's very much against. And actually, Rashi and Gittin, if I'm not mistaken, mentions this pshat too. If anybody went through the case of Gittin, Rashi mentions it and rejects it for the same reasons that the Rashbam did. And that was that some learned that, you know why Tinat the Kaddish Bekaspa? Why is it okay that the Rabbanan have the right to uproot the marriage? If he's Mekaddish Bekesef, because Kedusha Kesef is only with the Rabbanan. Very surprising shot that the Kesef, which works to be Mekaddish a woman, only works with the Rabbanan. The Menatara Kesef is nothing. And that's what the Gemara, that's what Ravina was saying to Ravashi, Tina, the Kaddish Bekaspa, this all makes sense if he is Mekaddish Bekesef. What do you mean? Not because of Hefker Bes and Hefker. But because of what? Since the Kedushin is only Chal mid the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan, who in a sense created the Kedushin, they can nullify it as well. It only exists mid the Rabbanan, so they can say, now it doesn't exist. You don't need Hefker Bes and Hefker. You understand? But Kaddish B'Bia, my equal in Neymar, but Bia works how? Mid the Torah or mid the Rabbanan? The Oraisa. So that's why Ravina says to Ravashi, so how could the Rabbanan uproot the marriage if he was Mekadosh with Bia? After all, if he's Mekadosh with Bia, it's Chal Min HaTorah. Yeah.
So this is Rashi's opinion?
So this is an opinion that the Rashbam cited.
Okay. But he
rejects
it.
But rejects it.
Who actually holds
by
that?
It doesn't say. I mean, Rashi in Gittin also mentions, he says, Rabosov is Rabbeim. I don't
know. Does it Rambam pass him like that?
Okay, so this
it's
is.
Around, a, yeah, it's
yeah.
A good thing.
Okay, so this is. I don't know. Maybe we could do it if you want.
Yeah.
But Rambam says he doesn't use the word Rabbanan. Rambam wrote that Kesef is midivrei sofer. Mm-hmm. And Achronim discuss this at great length. Rishonim and Achronim, what the Rambam meant by divrei sofer. Now, Divrei Sofrim, clearly the Rambam did use that phrase to express a Din D'Rabbanan. But is that the only situation in which the Rambam uses the phrase Divrei Sofrim? So this is a long discussion. And there were Achronim who felt that the Rambam didn't mean D'Rabbanan, that Divrei Sofrim meant something else. But anyway, we'd have to work on that if you wanted to do that. But for the time being, so the Rashbam cites this other opinion and he rejects it. And one basis for the rejection is what Sivya said, is that since we learn out Kesef through Gzeirah Shavah, right? What's the Gzeirah Shavah? Kiva. Any halacha that is derived through Gzeirah Shavah has a D'Oraisa status then. So that's, and I don't remember if the Rashbam mentions this too, but also the Gemara's answer of, what was the Gemara's answer to Kaddish B'Bia, my equal, and Neymar? They turned it into a B of Znus. According to this other pshat, how did they do that? If the Kedusha B'Bia takes effect in Torah, how would they be able, I don't know if the Rashbam made a point of that, Rashi in Gittin, when he cites this other opinion, if I'm not mistaken, makes a point of that we don't understand the answer according to this other opinion. You understand what I'm saying to you? Therefore, the Rashbam rejects this, correct? And how does he learn to tin up the Kaddish Bekaspa? As we said before, it's based on Hefker, Bess, and Hefker. But then how did the Rashbam then explain the Gemara's answer to the question of Kaddish Bebiya, my equal to Neymar? Yeah. So the Rashbam says that the assumption is, did we ever talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, we,
it was a clause. It was kind of a clause, or we said that it was a condition.
Oh,
yeah. That the assumption is that when he married her, when he was Makadisher, he said the assumption is, and that's actually many Rishonim say that that's why the phrase Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael is said by the groom. Because if you think about it, it really seems totally superfluous. I mean, why not just say Hareyat Mekudeshes? Let's say if he's using a ring, the Tabazu. Well, of course it's following the laws. What some other set of laws would be we've been following instead? Or what do you have to do? I have to make, if I make a bracha on a lulav amatilas lulu fi das hatorah, I mean, right back, but yeah, I mean, so Rishonim say that no, it's not just nice language. The Kedas Moshe implied in the statement of Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael is this implicit understanding that the person who's marrying this woman wants to marry her based on the das of the Chachamim. What does it mean, based on the das? Not just their knowledge, but their what?
Consent.
Consent, approval. So, therefore, even if he was Makadish Bebiya, they could annul the marriage based on what? Based on their, somebody finished my thought. Yeah, I know. So what will they say in this case?
They didn't approve this.
They don't.
Marriage.
And why don't they approve?
Because Bia is not Bia's name. Because it was not done.
Sorry.
Was that improper?
What was improper?
The Kedushin.
What?
The way he did the
Kedushin. Kedushin Bia. Because he used Bia? Or because he pressured her to marry him. Yeah, because he threatened her. He forced her to marry him. Isn't that what the case? The Rabbanan don't like it. And since he was Makadesh al da'atam, therefore the Rabbanan's reaction is, we don't approve of your marriage. So in the Melech, they don't approve of the marriage, since the marriage was conditional on their approval. And the Rabbanim say we don't approve, so therefore the Kedushin ends up being void because this condition was not met. Yeah.
Why don't we bring up Shtar in this case? We're able to reject Kesef and we're able to eventually reject Shtar through the Gemara, but the Gemara Kesef and Bia, but we don't bring up Shtar in this case.
Well, I would think that Shtar would. If you talk about Kesef and Bia, Shtar will be included in it too.
Why?
Well, for the same reason that you'll have to say, I'm assuming that, I don't know if Hefker Best and Hefker, could they be Mafker the Shtar? But it's not his Shtar? See, I don't know there. Certainly Hefker Best and Hefker can't work for Bia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Gemara brought up Bia. Now, whatever answer the Gemara gives for Bia would certainly work for Shtar. And would that answer also work for Kesef too?
It does work for Kesef.
Wait, what answer?
Okay, we just said that why is it, how are the Rabbanan able to turn the Bia into a Bia of Sinus? Because he was Makadish al Das Chachamim and they disapprove. So if they disapprove, then the condition of the condition was not fulfilled, and therefore any time if you have any type of a transaction with a condition stipulated, if the condition is not met, what happens to the transaction?
It's void.
It's voided. So here too, the condition was called the Makadosh Adato the Rabbanon Makadosh, that the Makadosh a woman that's al das that the Chachamim approve. Just one second. So they don't approve. So let me ask you then, okay. So what? And so let's now talk about the case where he's Makadosh with Kesef. Would that reason, the reason that we gave for Bia, would that reason also work for Kesef?
Yeah.
It's just that with Kesef, you have something else that could also work.
Okay.
Hefker, Betzman, Hefker. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
Why doesn't it mention Kalzim Kadoshadat Rabbanon explicitly in the Gemara here? Is that...
I'm
supposed to, going to talk about that, I think, to some extent, but...
To some extent?
That's the whole question.
No, but I thought Tosfos was going to ask it only on the Kesef part. Like, why
No. That's exactly what Tosfos is concerned with. Why the Gemara didn't mention it. Now, there's something here that's you have to realize this. We are assuming in this case where the man threatened this woman, forced her to marry him, that when he then married her, and he gave her kesef or whatever method of petition he used, we are assuming, the Rashbam is assuming, that when he was Makadesh, was he Makadesh Adata Darabanan?
Yes.
Yes. It's kind of funny. Here he is, he goes, does something clearly against certainly the Ratzon of the Chachamim. Clearly the Chachamim don't like for a person to force a woman to marry him. So that apparently he didn't care about. But when it came down to do the Kedushin, he was Mekadesh Adas the Chachamim.
Well, it's like people who ask if they can make a bracha and not eat the food.
Whatever, I'm just saying,
yeah.
you can explain it. But I'm just saying that's an observation that one should make.
Unless we're saying that anytime you're getting married, regardless of your explicit statement of Kedat Moshe Yisrael, it is Kedat Moshe Yisrael.
Well, does he want the marriage to be Kedat Moshe? Does he want the marriage to be Al Data the Rabbana? The Rashbam is assuming yes.
But can't,
otherwise, it wouldn't work. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to annul the marriage.
If a Kohen would marry a Gerusha, which is technically not okay, but he would say, technically their kids would be halalim, but the marriage would work,
even though
it's not Kedat Moshe Yisrael.
That's because if when it's an Iser Lav, when the reason why they can't marry is not Kares, it's an Iser Lav only, the Kedushin does take effect.
So this is barely even an Iser Lav. This is nothing.
Yes, so in that case, they didn't... you're asking me, why didn't they annul the marriage?
That's
a great question. And I believe it's asked. I just don't remember now.
Is it the difference between both of them consenting in the case of the Kohen and the Gerusha? Like, they both want...
Yeah, but the rabbis don't like it.
Right. Okay.
Why they didn't just step in
to protect the women? Like, here it's protecting.
Well, I don't know if they needed protection. I mean, they.
Here they need protection.
Yeah, so maybe there. It's true that they both did something. They were willing to get married, just that the Torah doesn't like it. I believe it says. I just don't remember now. Yeah.
Sort of similar because we were talking about it in like the same context. But I just don't remember exactly what we were asking yesterday, but. If a man marries a woman who is Anida and they use Bia, then could that be a case where like the rabbis could uproot that marriage because there's an Isser Karet there?
Yeah, but the Kedushin is Chal, even though in that particular, that's the only exception to the rule. Normally we say that if the Isser between them is Karet, then the Kedusha would not take effect. The only exception to that is Anida. Because when she's not Anida, she's totally Kshera. It's only during that interim state that she's in. It's not intrinsic. It's just a phase that the woman, you know, biologically goes through, but then after that, she's totally Mutaris.
But at that point in the marriage, she's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, but it's only the only type of relationship that would... cancel out the kedushin is of its intrinsic meaning. That's it, you know. She's your sister. That's
right,
never going to change. You know, it's not a phase that she's going through. Okay, so let's. So Tosfos. So that's the Gemara, right? So the Rashbam clearly learns that even in this case, where he forced her to marry him, he was still Makadesher Adat to the Rabbanim. Isn't that, Rashbam says it black on white, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Tosfos brings up three other Gemaras. So you have four in total, the one in Baba Basra is one. He mentions a Gemara in Yevamos, the one in Kuf Yud. So you have these two. Now these two, the one in Baba Basra and the one in Yevamos Kuf Yud, are similar. So we'll put them on one side. On the other side, he mentions two other Gemaras. One is in Ksuvos Daf Gimel, and the other one is Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel. And these two Gemaras are similar. The cases are very different, but the discussion of the Gemara is similar. And what did Tosfos notice when you look at, remember we have two on this side, two on that side, the one in Baba Basra, this is Sivya's point, and the one in Yevamos Kuf Yud, somebody finish it? Yes?
They're both missing that phrase of Kol De'adat HaDeRabbanan.
Kol De'Makadesh.
Kol De'Makadesh HaDat HaDeRabbanan Mekadesh.
Right. But the other two Gemaras, the one in Ksuvos Gimel, Gittin Lamed Gimel, where also the Gemara discusses there that the Kedushin, that the Rabbanan were Mafkia, the Kedushin, there it does say, called the Makadesh Adata the Rabbanan Makadesh. And Tosfos wants to understand what's going on. So, why is it that the Gemara does not mention it in Baba Basra and Yevamos Kuf Yud, while it does mention it in those two other Gemaras? Now, the two other Gemaras, one in Ksuvos Gimel, and Gittin Lamed Gimel, were complicated. The one in Ksuvos Gimel is more complicated, I think, just going through it, than the one in Gittin Lamed Gimel. Now, did anybody try? So before we look at those two, or we'll just maybe we'll go over one of them, because basically, even though the cases are different, but the Gemara's treatment of them are the same. Let's first take a look at the one in Yevamos Kuf Yud. You had to look this up, and this was not easy because you're really coming in the middle of something. Did anybody figure out what was going on? But not to come in the middle. You have to start from the beginning. Pretend you're explaining something. You're explaining it to someone. Liz?
Okay, I'm more than just starting in the middle. But it's a case where a young girl.
What does young girl mean to you?
Someone who's below 12.
You gotta say, so a katana.
Sorry, a katana.
Yes.
Is promised a relative of this katana who is not her father.
Where's the father?
The father has passed away.
Good.
So her brother, let's say, engages her to a man. So they are married
Darabana. Okay. So number one, the reason the father is very important here. If the father would have the right to marry off his daughter while she's a ketana, and if he did marry her off, the kedushin would take effect min haTorah. It would be a full-fledged 100%. Kedushin in a Torah. And if she ever wanted to leave her husband, she would need a get like any married woman. Okay. Now, but that's only the father. The case in Yevama Sukkafield is talking about where the father had died. And the Rabbanan created a marriage, the possibility of a marriage for a ketana, let's say her mother, her brothers, would be able to marry her off while she's a ketana. And the marriage would take effect only with the Rabbanan. And this marriage is a very lenient type of marriage. You might have come across the word miyun.
How do you spell that?
Mem yud aleph vav nun, or mimaenis. Did you see that word at all there? I guess not. Okay. This marriage, let's see, while she's a ketana, let's say the mother married her off when she's 10 years old. So she would have a kedushin. The guy who's marrying her would give her kesef and seher mekudeshesli, the kesef. And she would be mekudeshes to him, but only with the rabbanan. If while she's still a ketana, she decides she doesn't like him and she wants to leave him, she doesn't need a get. What does she need? Nothing. She could just say, I refuse to stay with him and I want to leave him.
Lenient,
miyun
means lenient?
No, miyun means refusal. All she needs to do is refuse to stay with him, and the marriage is dissolved. As a matter of fact, the marriage is dissolved even retroactively. It's as though they never even got married.
So it's just annulled?
It's annulled. If she, and this is, so we call this, in order to identify the kind of marriage this is, we say it's a kedushin lemiyun. You see what I mean by that? It's a kedushin that could be annulled through miyun. So that indicates, if I told you it's a kedushin lemiyun, you know right away what happened. She must have been under 12. Her father must have died. And her mother, brother married her off. And that's the kind of kedushin we're talking about. Yeah.
If she refuses, does it have to be when she's a ketana or
yes.
When she's a, okay.
Yes.
So she can't refuse afterwards.
That's right. Once she turns 12, miyun is no longer an option for her, and she would need a get. But as long as she's a ketana and her brother or mother married her off, miyun is an option. Okay. Now, but that's still, we're not, where. What else do we need to know?
So then before she's, like, reached this marriage chair, which...
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Okay,
so
what
in order...
Chair? What happened? What do you mean marriage
okay,
chair?
Okay, so she has promised to this man.
What do you mean promised?
She's married Derban to this first man.
When she was a ketana.
When she was a ketana.
Okay.
Now she is 12 or older. And before she and the first man have, like, gone to the chuppah or consummated their marriage.
What do you mean by consummated?
Like, they haven't, like, had bia yet.
Okay.
So before that happens, another man comes and marries her.
I know, see, but before you can get into the case that another man came, you have to know something about what happens. Let's say her mother married her off when she was 10. Now you have to also understand, you're not allowed to have bia with a ketana. So the assumption is, while she was a ketana, they didn't have bia. So in a sense, they really didn't have a chuppah yet. And that won't happen until she turns 12. I'm just, how now? The question is, that this Gemara deals with, and you need to know, what happens when she turns 12? What happens to that kedushin that she had when she was 10? Now she's a gadola, she turned 12. What happened to that kedushin?
Well, now she'll need a get to get married. get out of it.
I know, but is the Kiddushin still this Kiddushin Darabanan?
No, it's not Darabanan.
No, it's Darabanan. If they haven't had Bia yet, it's still Darabanan.
Okay. This is debated in the Gemara there in Yavamos. The issue was when she turns 12, forget about bridal children, we're not there yet. The moment she turns 12, what happens to the Kiddushin that she had when she was 10? Now, Rav insisted that the only thing that happens is what I told you before, that she doesn't have the option of Neil anymore. But the Kiddushin is still only a Kiddushin Derabana. It doesn't somehow mature automatically into a Kiddushin Dioraisa just because she turned 12. It remains a Kiddushin Derabanan without the option of Niyun. So if they were going to get divorced, he would have to give her a get. But so what would have to happen for the Kiddushin to become a Dioraisa after she turns 12?
Yeah.
So Rob's opinion is he would have to have Bia with her, and the Bia would be L'shem Kiddushin. Assuming the man knows that when he married her at 10, in a Torah it's not a valid Kiddushin. So after she turns 12, and they're going to be intimate, he had Bia with her L'shem Kiddushin. Then obviously if you had Bia L'shem Kiddushin, now their Kiddushin is valid in a Torah. But before they have Bia, you follow?
Yes.
The Kiddushin is only Midrabanan. This was Rav's opinion. And the Gemara earlier questioned him, others disagreed with him, but this is Rav's opinion. Now, then what happened? Can you tell me what happened next in the Gemara?
I have a question on Rav's opinion.
Okay.
Would he be able to do Kiddushin with Kesef on her, or it had to be Kiddushin with Bia?
Well, technically, I guess, but again, yeah, maybe he could have.
But can he redo Kiddushin?
Yeah, just do it again.
But
the assumption was that he wasn't going to do, because he did it already, you know, when he at 10, so.
But if he did it again, then that would just be a normal
Kiddushin,
marriage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So, okay, what happened next? Before you get to the bridal chair, we're not there yet quite, we're almost there. The Gemara challenged whether this in fact is really Rav's opinion. What do I mean? The Gemara is about to cite an incident that happened, and something happened, some event occurred, and who was at this event?
Rav's students.
Two of Rav's students. And the way they reacted to what happened seems to indicate to us, assuming that they followed the views of their teacher, of their Rebbe, who was Rav, the way they reacted seems to imply that even without Bia, the Kiddushin automatically turns into a Kiddushin Bia just by virtue of the fact that she turned 12. And that's what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is challenging what in fact is really Rav's opinion. Now tell me the event. This is where the bridal chair comes in. Something happened. Now tell me what happened.
Okay, so
you see the difference? You see what we just went through? Did anybody get any of that? No. I'm just wondering what we should do. All right, let's first go ahead. So what?
So now she's on the bridal chair.
Start again.
Ooh. Sorry, the katana.
She got married by her mother.
For her brother.
When she was 10.
And she's in this place, like this city. And now she has got to the bridal chair.
1 second. How old is she?
Now she's 12. Or 13, but she's above.
12.
Yeah. So now she's 12.
Yes.
And now is when she's supposed to be with this man that she was married to when she was a katana. But before she can, they can actually have Bia.
So she was seated on this bridal chair, which was part of the chuppah ceremony. Now, the assumption is that she and her husband have not yet been intimate. That the practice was that this would be part of the ceremony of the chuppah, but only after the chuppah would they be intimate. And being seated on the bridal chair was just something, was a stage in the chuppah ceremony prior to them being intimate. So she was on this bridal chair. Yeah.
Just a question in general. When you say chuppah, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to the concept of a chuppah that now it's the same thing as our chuppah was, but the two of them are standing under a canopy, they're alone together. So there used to be a whole procession that they would bring. In those days, they would bring her to her husband's home, that they would start living together as man and wife. So in that celebration, she would be seated on this bridal chair. I don't know exactly, you know, how that looked. I don't know. And what happened while she's being seated there?
Another man comes.
Another man, and just kidnaps her. Now you had to figure out what exactly this other man did.
He marries her. He has Bia with her.
You got to be more specific. Yeah. I mean, he raped her?
No, he convinced her to marry him.
Okay. So how? You said Bia, he had Bia with her? Did it say that in the Gemara?
No, but it says that.
What did it say?
It's that he took her, but I thought that was like a way of saying like that he like
did her. He didn't. What about the Rebbe? He had Bia or he didn't have Bia?
Oh, well, maybe that's the.
You gotta know yes or no. He had Bia or he did not have Bia.
It's unclear if he had Bia.
So you're not sure. The Gemara's not sure.
I had Bia,
right,
but
the Gemara's not sure. I'm gonna go with the Gemara's not sure.
I think they did.
They
otherwise, there would be no like.
Otherwise, there's no case.
That's not sure. He could just do kedushin with Kesef.
Yeah.
So he did not have Bia with her. He did kedushin with her.
Can you tell from the Gemara what happened? Apparently, Lizzie, you didn't think you could tell from the Gemara.
But now I'm going to change my mind.
Just read it out.
Okay.
Okay.
You have a Gemara in front of you?
Yeah.
Let me just get out. Let's just find the part where the second guy comes in. You want to read it? Read it, please.
Ba'ata Akrina, ve'chatafa mine.
What does that mean?
Another man comes and he steals her from the first guy.
Right.
Ve'rav Bruna v'rachananal talmidei de'rav havu hatam.
What does that mean?
Rav Bruna and Rav Hananal, the students of Rav, they were there. Ve'lo hatzricha gita.
And
they didn't require her to have a get from this second husband.
Okay. Now, they did not. Now, what did this second guy do? Now, you're right. The Gemara doesn't spell it out at this point. If you keep reading the Gemara, you should have realized what the second guy did.
He did kesef.
How do you know?
Because that's then the discussion that they're talking about, that then they can uproot it because she used kesef.
Yeah, you keep reading, you realize that what must have happened was the second guy kidnapped her. And what did he do with her? He must have what? Forced her to what?
Accept the money.
To accept. Now, are we assuming she said Rotsani or he just...
She said Rotsani.
Yeah. That means the exact same thing happened here as it happened where?
In
And Bubabas
remembers. When do you see the Kesef though?
Because the Gemara is going to ask Tinat the Kodesh Bekaspa. Three lines further in that Gemara. Doesn't the Gemara ask the question? Tinat the Kodesh Bekaspa, Kodesh Bebiya Ma'ika Lameimar. So first of all, we're only talking about Kedusha. Okay. Now what if he was Makadish or Bebiya?
Then it would say
Bila too. Okay, so then the Gemara answered Shavira Malik. So the only thing that took place was Kiddushin, so that the man must have pressured her into marrying him, into being Mukudeshis, to accept Kiddushin from him. Now it's true that the Gemara can say, well maybe the Kiddushin was with Bia. So you're right, the Gemara is considering maybe they had Bia. But it would be a Bia L'Shem Kedusha. So, isn't that exactly the same thing as in Baba Basra?
Yeah.
You look confused.
I'm just trying to think it through, but it sounds like it is. Like he's.
What was the case in Baba Basra? A man forced a woman to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here? A man grabs it, snatched her, and forced her to marry him. Now, the two students of Rav, when the whole case was, when they started to resolve, like, what's going to happen, they did not, what did they say?
She doesn't need a get.
She does not need a get, and therefore, now, so it sounds like, can she simply go back to the first husband?
No.
Okay, now that's going to be a little bit problematic. I don't want to get into it for now. But certainly, the marriage with the second guy is no marriage. And that's what we should focus on. So she doesn't need to get from the second guy. Now, what did the Gemara think was the reason why she doesn't need to get from the second guy? Now, if you don't need to get from the second guy, that means the Kedushin of the second guy was not effective. What was the reason? Yes.
Because the same thing that we said in Baba Batra, because he did it improperly.
No. That's coming up soon. Right now, what is the Gemara thinking? Yes?
That the first Kedushin that she had with the first man was Deoraita, and therefore...
How did it become Deoraita?
Because she became not a Katana anymore. And just because she was no longer a Katana, it automatically became Deoraita. And so the second marriage doesn't work as Kedushin because she was married already, so you can't have Kedushin.
That's right. We'll read it inside. To which the Gemara, so therefore you see, and assuming that the Talmidim of Rav are following Rav's opinion, so it sounds like that Rav's opinion is that the moment she turned 12, the Kedushin automatically simply matured into a Kedusha Deoraisa, even though they didn't have Bia yet. You follow? That's what that's the event that happened that the Gemara is now challenging. What is Rav's real opinion? So this incident seems to indicate to us that his real opinion is that even before Bia, the Kedushin becomes the Araisa just by her turning 12. So how did the Gemara respond? Amar Rav Papa, you want to read this?
Sure. Amar Rav Papa, v'nerish minasiv nisivi, v'hadar mutve avi peruse.
Period. You know what that means?
That Rav Papa said that in Nairish.
What's Nairish?
It's the city.
That's the place of what?
Where
this happened.
Does Nairish have the city name?
The Narsh Minsav Nesive Vahadar Mosve Ape Korsaya.
I think that she had Kedushin with her husband. No.
Well, she had it when she was 10.
Yeah, but then I thought Rashi said that then she had it when she grew up, when she became a Zola.
But what did she have?
she had bia.
Bia.
And then she came to the bridal.
That in Narsh, the custom is reversed. In Narsh, they're intimate first, and then she is seated on the bridal chair. So therefore, he had bia with her for this for l'shem kedushin, and then she was seated on the bridal chair, and then she was snatched. So therefore, what?
So
she was already mekudeshes to the first guy in the Torah.
And it goes back.
And therefore,
to
Rav's it doesn't conflict with Rav's opinion
original.
That we original opinion, which is that you need bia to elevate it to a kedusha d'oraisa. So this was what Rav Papa answered. Right? We'll keep reading the Gemara.
Rav Ashi Amar, Pekua Sa'a Shalo Kehogin, Lepichach Asu Bo Shalo Kehogin. Rav Ashi said...
Need a few more words?
V'av Kinhu Rabbanu Lekidushay Mine. So Rav Ashi said that...
What's he doing here?
He's giving a different explanation.
For what?
As to why she didn't need a get.
According to him, according to Rav Ashi, was the custom in Narsh different?
No.
No. Did she have bia yet with her first husband?
No.
Who said that it was? Who said that they didn't have bia until the bridal chair? Or they had bia before
Rav
Papa?
Rav Papa, as we just said 2 seconds ago. Right. So Rav Ashi is learning what? That they didn't have bia before. But the reason why the Talmidim of Rav did not demand a get, it's not because what?
Not because the Kedushin didn't.
It's not because the Kedushin automatically became d'oraisa when she turned 12. That's also not true. So if it was only a Kedushin d'Rabbanan, so the second guy, what was the status of his Kedushin?
It
should
d'oraisa.
Have been d'oraisa. So then why don't you need a get?
Because he did look.
Because he did it Shaloka Hogan, they stripped him of the Kedusha. So we have two terutzim for what? So that we can still maintain what is Rav's position?
That she doesn't need to get.
I mean,
she needs that to make the marriage.
You need Bia in order to turn the Kedusha into D'oraisa. So then why wasn't a get needed with the second guy? But Papa's answer was that they had bia before she was on the bridal chair. Rav Ashi's reason is because who was a shloka hogan, lefichach asu imo shloka hogan. And then the Gemara asked the same question and gave the same answer that our Gemara and Baba Basra did. Amar Ravina Rav Ashi tina to kadosh b'kas b'kadosh b'bia ma'ika l'meimar shavu rabban l'bilos o'bilos mus. Same thing. So really, this Gemara is a carbon copy of the Gemara in, well, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you analyze, it's the same case. Guy forces a woman to marry him. And Rav Ashi said they annulled the marriage because who was so shaloka hogan. And the Gemara then asked, Tina to kodesh pakaspa, kodesh pabia ma'ika lo meymar. Shav yu rabbanu bilos o bilos mus. What is missing in this Gemara, just as it's missing in Baba Basra?
Called the
Mekadesh, adapted the Rabbanu Mekadesh. Okay. I'm just concerned that nobody got the discussion about Rav. That was hard. So I don't know what we should do about that.
Where was that discussion?
Well,
what page is it? I don't have the Yigamar in front of me.
Well, actually starts on Kuf Tes on the base. So you would have to go back to Kuf Tes on the base.
On the bottom?
Well, close to the bottom. You're like 3/4 of the way down the omelet. It's really hard because then you're going to have to refer back to a Mishnah. And you're going to have to, that's very complicated.
Well, should we just do it tomorrow and then like if we have questions we can ask you like during prep?
Yeah, I just would like, now that you know what we...
Right.
Let's see if you can see it in Gemara.
In which one?
Well, in Yevamos, yeah.
Rob disagrees with him.
Who was the person there? Rav Sheshes. You'll see the Gemara there. At least certainly he's challenged by Rav Sheshes. Okay. Now, did you anyone try to work out the Gemara in either Ksuvos Gimel or Gittin Lamed Gimel?
Yes, I think we got it.
Okay. Let's do the one in Gittin Lamed Gimel. Oh. Exactly what happened. I want you to
A husband gives a shaliach a get to give to his wife.
Okay.
And says, give this to my wife because I want to be divorced.
Okay.
And the shaliach is on his way. While the shaliach is on his way, this guy decides, hey, actually, I don't want to be divorced, or I want to change something within the get. So meaning I want to take that get back. And the Mishnah of that section.
So what's very important to emphasize is, where is the get right now?
With the shaliach.
With the shaliach who is in transit.
Yeah. So
it was not yet delivered to the wife. Because once it was delivered to the wife, it's over. We're divorced. You can't do anything.
Which is exactly what the Mishnah says at the beginning of this whole section.
So while the get is with the shaliach in transit, the husband decides he changed his mind. He doesn't want to divorce her.
Or he wants to change something.
Well, let's keep it simple. He doesn't want to divorce her. So what happened?
So, technically, he has a few options. He can chase after the shaliach and stop the shaliach from giving her the get. Or he can send a shaliach to the woman, I think, a separate shaliach.
Okay, you have to, you're right, but you're skipping a step here. Can the husband cancel the get?
Without anybody there? So
with just while the get is in transit with the shaliach.
According to the Mishnah, it says Barishona, it used to be allowed, that all you have to do is, even if the wife and the shaliach with the get are not there, you take two men or three men, depending on the debate that is discussed in the Gemara, you take a Beit Din, we create a Beit Din, and this Beit Din will say that this get is now over.
It's not that the Beit Din will say it. The husband says it.
Right, with the Beit Din.
It's just in the presence.
Okay, fine.
Well,
it depends if it's two or three. What
that debate is about, but we're not going to discuss, but it's not relevant for us.
Okay.
So, the point is, a husband can cancel a get until the get is given to the wife.
But he doesn't know because it's in transit, so it's all confusing. So I guess what I would say
I know that, but forget about what the shliach knows or doesn't know. Legally, the husband can cancel a get as long as it was not yet given to him. And how do you cancel? Basically, all he has to say is the get's bottom.
What I'm trying to say, though, is if he gave the get and he knows that his wife is 5 day travel away, then I guess on the first, second, third, and fourth day he can cancel it by going to the Beit Din. But on the fifth day, whether he's like, if he's not sure.
We're not talking about where we're not sure. Let's say we know.
But for the first 4 days, for sure he can do this.
So that's the case. Now he can cancel the get, and he can just inform, let's say, a local Beit Din. Let's say he lives in Tel Aviv. The wife, they say they've been separated. The wife is in Yerushalayim, so he gets a get, gives it to a shaliach in Tel Aviv to deliver it to the wife in Yerushalayim. And the shaliach is in transit. Husband decides, I change my mind. So in Tel Aviv, he puts together, let's say, a bet. Whether you need two people, two aidim is enough to inform, or whether you need to inform a bet, then not our issue. So he informs some people in Tel Aviv that the get is bought up. If he does that, he gets bottom. Now, it might come out that the shliach might never find out that the husband just canceled the get, and he might deliver the get thinking that that's what he's supposed to do. The wife might never find out that the husband had canceled the get. It's very unfortunate. But at this point, the get is still bata. So the Mishnah there in Gittin, Rabbi Gamliel Hazokeh made a takana that he didn't like this. Because you could understand the tragedy that could befall this woman. You understand the tragedy? She might think she's divorced. She might never find out that the husband canceled the get. So she could remarry, have children, and she would be committing adultery, but even more importantly, her future children would be mamzerim. So Rabbi Gamliel Hazokeh found this intolerable, and therefore he made the following takana. Can you tell me what the takana was? If your shaliach is in transit, and you like, and you changed your mind, and you want to cancel it, you can, but
you need to have the wife and the shaliach present.
Well, let's say you need to what? Not
sure
present.
That
she's in Yerushalayim.
You just have to make sure that she knows. Like,
number one, you're gonna have to send a second shaliach to overtake the first shaliach and tell him that the get is bata. Or send the second shaliach to race it to Yerushalayim and tell the wife that the get that you're about to receive is really bata. In other words, let's keep it simple. Rabbi Gamliel Hazokeh made a takana that you have to inform the shaliach or the wife that the get that's about to be delivered is really bata. That's a takana that he made. And he doesn't want anybody just being telling a local bezdin in Tel Aviv that he was mabata the get without informing the shaliach or the wife. So this was a takanas of the Gamliel Hazokeh. Fine. That's the mission. Now, this now brings us to the Gemara on Lamed Gimel in Gittin. Can somebody tell me what the Gemara is about? Anyone else? So the same two people. Three people. No? Zahava.
Sorry,
we didn't have a chance
to
that.
Yeah.
No? Okay, yes?
Okay, so the Gemara now wants to try to figure out why Rabban Gamliel made this takana.
We just said why.
So then I'm confused because I didn't see that reason in the Mishnah, but I guess I must just have missed it. This was talking about because there were possibilities. Like either it was because of the mamzerim reason, or it was because of a different reason of the aguna.
Horrible.
Okay, so either one, it's pretty bad.
Right, but I'm saying.
So that's the reason.
Okay.
Okay, it's one or the other. So what is the Gemara about? Try again.
Okay. Well, then after that, it talks about how there's a Mishnah that says that according to Rebbe, even after this takana, if the man says this get is batel in front of Bet Din, it still works. But then
it wasn't a Mishnah; it's a Brisa.
Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. But then Rashbav says that that's not true. You can't invalidate this takana, Rabban Gamliel, and you can't change it or add to it because.
So the case that the Gemara now discusses is, what if the husband did not follow the takana of Rabbi Gamliel Hazokeh? He didn't know about it. He didn't care about it. And what did he do? The shliach is in transit with the get. He's in Tel Aviv. he assembles, he gets either two people or three people, and he informs them that the get is batel. But he didn't send a second shliach to overtake the first one. Nothing. He was mevatel the get, but locally. What happens then? Is the get batel or not? So this was a machlokis, Gemara cited of Raisa. And this was a machlokis between whom?
Rabbi
and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi said, the get is batel. Can't be helped. Because I'm adding this in, because in the Torah, the husband has the right to be mevatel the get. He didn't follow the takana of Rabbi Gamliel or something, okay. So maybe, penalize him in some way, but the get is still batel. So Rebbe said, the get is batel. I shall never find out, and a calamity might happen. Okay? It will be very unfortunate, but it can't be helped. Rashbag said, what?
No.
No. It sounds like he's saying the get is not batel. That's what Rashbag said. No, can't do it. So it sounds like the get is what?
Stands.
Oh. Stands. Okay. Then what? Then what happened here? Victoria, is your hand up? I can't tell.
I'm not sure. I was going to continue with Rashbag's thought that
He said otherwise, if a person, this is all part of Rashbag saying that if he can simply do mevatel to get locally and get away with it, then what's the whole point of Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin's takana? Makoch bezin yafa, I mean, basically you're taking away the teeth of his takana if a man can simply undermine it. After that, what came next in the Gemara? Yeah?
The Gemara asks, could there be like a situation, like a case where midoraita, the get is batel, meaning the woman is still married, and yet because of this concept of koach based in yafe, we allow an eshes ish to be with anyone? And the answer is yes.
We get to the
question.
Sorry. You're right. Say it again, though.
The Gemara asks.
So the Gemara is asking on whom?
On Rav Shimon ben Gamliel.
The Gemara doesn't understand Rashbag's opinion. The Gemara finds his opinion difficult. Why? So now Liz is right. Say it again.
Because could we? Do you want me to repeat the question or explain what, like,
explain it. You don't have to repeat it in a question.
Because if we said that if we followed by Rashbag, then midoraita, the woman would, the get would be batel, meaning she would still be married to this husband. And yet because of this concept that, you know, the base then needs to keep its power, we will now, even though she's an Ashes Kish midoraita, we're letting her marry anyone.
Now, how is it possible for Rashbag to say that the get is not batel, that the get is still valid, and what? That the get is still valid, and therefore she can remarry.
Even though she's still married to Gorek.
If Minat Torah, isn't the get batel? The get should be batel Minat Torah. How can Rashbag say what?
That the get is batel. That Rashbag will allow her to be with other men when Dora
is. That means he's saying the get is valid.
Yeah.
What is Rashbag saying?
The get is valid.
The get is, isn't it sound like he's saying the get is valid?
Yeah.
He's saying that you can't do it. That means that when he was mevatel the get locally, his bittul was ineffective. So if the bittul was ineffective, that means the get is still valid. If the get is still valid, she's divorced. She's divorced, she can remarry and have children. So what the Gemara is asking, how's that possible? If the get is Minat Torah actually batel because the husband was mevatel, that means what is her status Minat Torah? She's an Eshes Ish. So how could Rashbag, now how could she remarry? In that Torah it's adultery, in that Torah it's mamzerus. How is it possible? So what did the Gemara answer?
With our concepts.
And this is where Gemara answered what?
Call
the Makadesh Adat of the Rabbanan Makadesh Vavka in a Rabbanan with the Dusha Mine. We're going to have to stop. Right, so,
what does aim mean in that?
No, not aim, in.
But how do you read it within that sentence?
In, yes.
Makwa Beitin Yafa Shrina
and
Esha Isha Alma
in? Alma, and then in, yes. And then went, and then yes, and then it says, like it's a question.
No, they can do it. So what is really happening, though?
They're like uprooting. They're right there.
It's not that they're saying the get is valid. They can't say the get is valid.
That the marriage is not valid.
Well, what they're doing is they're annulling the marriage retroactively.
So weird.
Well, I think it's brilliant.
It's
brilliant. What they're doing is they're saying that the get, what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is doing is, it's not that he's saying that the bittul is ineffective. What he's saying is, in a situation like this, where he ignored the takana of Rav Gamliel HaZaken, and he was mevatel the get locally, what's going to happen? The Rabbanan are going to uproot the marriage. Because called the Makadesh Adat of the Rabbanan Makadesh, and now they'll disapprove of this marriage. So then it will turn out that you know why she's allowed to remarry?
She
was never married in the first place. It's brilliant.
So then the get just becomes a document that he just said that makes no sense.
Well, it sounds like that the get right now, Min HaTorah at least, the get has no function in the Torah.
Okay.
Now, whether it has some rabbinic function, so that's the big issue.
Just a language question. I mean, I guess here it was obvious that, I mean, not obvious, but easier to tell that it was yes and not aim. But, like, how in the Gemara can you know if when they say when it's all of good none, if they mean in yes or they mean aim?
They wouldn't say aim. They would use probably a different word.
If always?
Like leka, less.
Okay.
If it's just the word by itself. You see, aleph yud by itself.